Father in heaven, it's a privilege to come back night after night to spend time in your house with your children, considering your word and praying together. We often have many things to do, and they're good things to do. I'm not minimizing that. But it's nice when we have a reason to come together, to learn together and pray together, as I said, because we shouldn't take it for granted. There's a greater power when we come together. There are blessings that come that would not come in other settings. And so I want to thank you for inviting each one of us to come here this evening. Lord, tonight in coming, we come with the needs that we find in our lives. And it's not like they come as a surprise to you. You know about them already. You're waiting to help us, and we've been learning this week that there are things you want to do but can't do if we're not praying. And so I just thank you that we can come and learn together. I want to learn as well. I pray that you will forgive all of us, Lord, of the sin that so easily entangles us. I say that seriously. That you, Father, would help us to forget the burdens that we may be carrying this evening. That, Father, you would still the accuser's voice so that we might hear your voice as it's communicated through my lips, I pray. And, Father, through the comments of others as perhaps we talk some together. Bring the Holy Spirit here. Bring the Holy Spirit here. Make me nothing so that I won't stand in the way of what you're trying to do, so that when we go away, we will know that we've had an encounter with Jesus. Thank you that this life, though it's filled with many things, should be preeminently filled with you, that somehow when we take time for you, you're able to bless all the other times in such a way that this would be a good investment of time. So bless us now. I ask this with much gratitude in advance. Amen. I hope everyone has their syllabus with them yet, because we will be using the syllabus. It's just the easiest way for you to follow what I'm talking about. And there are line numbers on the left, remember. And because we're using two different editions, I will give you both line numbers for the smaller edition and the larger edition. And I think most everyone has been able to get syllabus so far, so we want to make sure that that continues. By way of review, the first time I spoke, I tried to encourage you to believe that prayer is a necessity, that miracles take place by way of prayer, that people come to church expecting answers to prayer. They expect to have some of their challenges addressed. But sometimes, for whatever reason, because we don't have confidence in prayer, because we're not perhaps living in a particular way that we should, people come and they're disappointed, and it causes them to waver in their confidence in God. And that's sad. Prayer is, I think, the greatest gift that God gave us. And I tried to convince you that there's a certainty about prayer, that when we pray, God expects to answer. Last night we talked a little bit about the ABCs of prayer, about some of the fundamentals that are so important, the need to ask. There's no answers if we don't ask. The need to pray in Jesus' name, that we are only worthy. Our prayers are never sufficient in and of themselves. And that we need to pray with confidence. In speaking of that, it reminds me a little bit when I went to England to a camp meeting there. And, I had my, at that point I was using PowerPoint. And I had my computer, and I had all the cables attached the computer to the PowerPoint, and I had the power cord, but I'd forgotten the power adapter. And there's a bit of a problem. When you have a computer, you expect to use it all week, and you don't have the power adapter. As I looked at the plug in the wall, I knew the power was there. As I looked at the computer, I saw there was the need for the power. But I didn't understand how to get it out of the wall, right? And prayer is the same way. A lot of people say, I know that the Bible talks about prayer. I know that I need answers to prayer in my life, but I don't understand how. And so last night we tried to talk about some of the ABCs as we began about how to gain the power of prayer in our lives. It works. It works. Well, tonight we want to talk about the importance of God's will and obtaining answers. About 90% of the time or more, when we get an answer to prayer, it's because we are seeking to hear and do God's will. Sometimes it's not quite that way, and God allows us to have what we wish, but against His best wishes, okay? Sometimes He allows us to get what we're begging for and demanding just so that we learn to trust Him more, unfortunately. Tomorrow evening, I want to talk about people who pray and the kind of people who get answers to prayer. The next evening, I want to talk about the kinds of relationships that exist between people who get answers to prayer. Then I want to talk about intercessory prayer, which is a little more complicated. Remember I told you that George Mueller prayed for more than 52 years for the sons of a friend of his? Okay? When we talk about a third party, it takes a little bit longer because, and I say this carefully, I'll speak about myself, they may be as stubborn as we were at one time, right? And don't want to accept what God is saying or doing in their lives, and therefore it takes a long time for God to get through. And sadly, this is the truth. Often, God has to use stress and difficulty to finally get people's attention. Okay? That's why sometimes when you pray for a person and their life appears to be falling apart, it's because God would much rather get through to them the first time, but if they refuse to listen, God has to do something more dramatic, okay? And eventually people hear, and often there's sadness that perhaps God wasn't listened to sooner. After that, I want to talk about prayer and healing. And I want to talk about some of the reasons that prayer for healing, why God allows sickness, and why sometimes prayer for healing doesn't work right away. And I have found at least 12, in fact, I think I've found 13 reasons to consider on that subject. And when we pray, for example, for healing, if we're in the hospital, we pray for someone, should they pull the IV out of their arm? Is that how you express faith, you know, if you've prayed for someone's healing? If you prayed for healing, is it a lack of faith to prepare a will? What is it? Have you ever thought about that? Those are important questions. People wonder about that. Those are very practical questions, and we're going to talk about that and give you some very real information on those subjects. By the end of our time, I want to talk about how to recognize answers to prayer and why the words yes and thank you, I believe, are the most important words in the Christian life. Yes, Lord, you know, this is from you, thank you. This is meant for my good. We're going to look at some stories in the Bible that reveal that some of God's greatest blessings come delivered in rough packaging. We'll show you some stories. And oftentimes, you may not believe this right off, but oftentimes the greatest praise the Lord moments in the Christian's life is introduced by something that doesn't look quite so praise the Lord. Did you hear me? I hope so. And I'm told, is it official yet that I'm also speaking Sabbath evening? Okay, and I'll be here Sabbath evening because the person scheduled isn't able to be here. So they asked me if I could go one more night. So you haven't gotten rid of me quite yet by Sabbath evening, okay? So please come. Every evening we'll be joined to the next, okay? Now, some time back, this goes back a few years, I received an interesting letter. It was from a young adult. She'd been writing me about where to look for work. And finally she'd found it, following some suggestions that we're going to talk about tonight. And her letter went as follows. Dan, I don't know what to pray about because every one of my prayer requests have been answered. Everything I wanted, everything I was praying about has been completely taken care of. I've never had this situation where God has answered so well. Now, you know as well as I do that that's not always the case, right? A lot of people pray and say, hold on, where's God? What is He doing? I'm reminded of a time when I was flying into Hendersonville, North Carolina. I flew in on Friday. I was to speak Sabbath morning. And much to my chagrin, my luggage failed to arrive with me. And I had gone, luckily, in a nice-looking pair of jeans. But you can only make a first impression the first time. And so I had to appear without, you know, a sport coat or anything. And I could have gone away from that experience saying, apparently luggage doesn't work, I may as well leave it behind, right? Okay, I could have come to that conclusion, couldn't have I? A lot of people, they pray and they say, hey, I've given it a chance, it doesn't seem to work for me, you know, I'm going to give up on it. You know, there was no problem with the luggage, it was how the luggage was handled. There's no problem with prayer sometimes, it's how we handle prayer. Did you hear me? And what this seminar is all about is learning about prayer. Someone told me, and I thought rightly so, that prayer is actually nothing more than a telephone. It's a communicative device, and what counts is the people on either end of the communication, right? Their relationship. And to the degree that they have an understanding between them, the more effective the communication is, right? So tonight we want to learn about what it means to pray according to God's will. As we start, though, remember we wrote down some requests? The first session, I believe, was Sabbath evening. I'd like you to turn to someone close. We're going to take a few minutes to pray as we begin again this evening, okay? We want to make sure that we pray every evening. We're going to take about the next 7 to 10 minutes to pray, and I will give you a clue to that we're coming back together, okay? So find someone close by to pray with. If you don't feel comfortable praying with someone, you can pray on your own. But please, everyone, let's spend some time praying. It'd be a pity to not pray together when we come. Okay? Please, let's spend some time praying. We're just about over. Line 638 now in your handout. Line 521 if you have the larger one. Aldous Huxley said, the third petition, Our Father which art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The third petition of the Lord's Prayer is repeated daily by millions who have not the slightest intention of letting anyone's will be done but their own. Isn't that true? We kind of mouth those words, but we have no intention of having them actually done. If you would look in your Bibles at Numbers chapter 9, there's a section that's very important when it comes to knowing and doing God's will. Numbers chapter 9, starting at about verse 16, speaking of the cloud by day and the fire at night. Numbers chapter 9, verse 16. It says, so it was always, the cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey, and in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tent. So if the cloud moved, the children of Israel moved with that cloud. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey, and at the command of the Lord, they would camp. As long as the cloud stayed above the tabernacle, they remained and camped. So as long as the cloud was overhead, they stayed. If it moved, they moved with it. Notice verse 19. Even when the cloud continued long, many days above the tabernacle, the children of Israel kept the charge of the Lord and did not journey. So it was when the cloud was above the tabernacle a few days, according to the command of the Lord, they would remain encamped. And according to the command of the Lord, they would journey. So it was when the cloud remained only from evening until morning, when the cloud was taken up in the morning, then they would journey, whether by day, notice, or by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up, they would journey. Whether it was 2 days, a month, or a year that the cloud remained above the tabernacle, the children of Israel would remain encamped and not journey, but when it was taken up, they would journey. At the command of the Lord, they remained encamped, and at the command of the Lord, they journeyed. And somewhere in here, and I read it, but I didn't notice it, it says, even if it left during the middle of the night, they left with that cloud in the middle of the night. The point was to always keep an eye on the cloud and follow the cloud. F.B. Meyer, a great British preacher, made a statement that I think is very important in this regard. He said, you can always count, listen carefully, all listening, you can always count on the manna falling if you are living under the cloud. You can always count on the manna falling if you are living under the cloud. So if the cloud moved and they didn't follow, okay, if they weren't where God wanted them to be, there was no guarantee that God would take care of them there. And I use these verses here to point out that it was a constant watching and a constant following, day in and day out, be it during the day, being at night, being at a short time or a long time. The important point was to always watch the cloud and always follow the leading of the cloud. I believe that is still as true in our day as it was back then. If we all lived more that way, I suspect we might see more blessings and miracles take place. Notice line 652 in the small edition, 530 in the large, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he what? But he who does the will of my Father. There are many people today who they go through religious services, they go through all kinds of religious activity, but religion is a feel-good thing. I don't know if you've ever seen it, I'm not sure it's quite the same thing, but people, you often hear these days, you can be spiritual without being religious. Have you heard that? People make the statement, all roads lead to God. You know, it's just parallel lanes. The Bible says there was how many names? One name, right? By which a person can be saved. And so this matter of doing what you want and praying and thinking that God can respond and you'll get to heaven, no problems, it's not Bible-based. Did you hear me? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter, but he who does the will of my Father. Notice the next one down, John 7:17. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Jesus was speaking to the disciples. He said, you know, when a person is seeking to understand, if they have a desire to understand in order to do, they will understand. Did you hear me? But if you have a desire to understand, just to have an intellectual understanding is one of many understandings, and who cares? It won't work. George Mueller once talking to someone regarding the teaching of the rapture. George Mueller was convinced that Jesus was coming in the clouds of heaven, visibly. And he told somebody, he said, if you fail to follow what the Bible teaches, the light that you have will be taken away and God will leave you in darkness. That's still true. That's why it's so important to seek to know and do God's will. Sadly, many only know what their pastors have told them about the Bible. They've never really studied for themselves. And that's a sad thing. Now, regarding prayer, down below John 7:17 says from 1 John 5:14 and 15, now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, what happens? He hears us, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Okay, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us, and if He hears us, we know that we have received the request. That, my friends, is why when I pray often, say, Lord, help us to hear Your voice, and we want You to hear our voices as well. See, some things can keep God actually from hearing our voices. And then it's at line 666 in the small, 543 in the large edition. This comes from the book of James. You ask and do not receive because what? You ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures. And so some people, James first starts saying, you know, you don't receive because you don't ask. That's what we kind of covered the first few meetings. But then he says, you ask what? But don't receive because you've asked amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures for something that God never had in mind. So there's more than asking. Now, a quotation from the book Education. Christ makes it plain, line 671 in the small, 547 in the large edition, 671 in the small edition. Christ makes it plain that our asking must be according to God's will. Okay? Period. Must be that way. We must ask for the things that He has promised, and whatever we receive must be used in doing what? His will, the conditions met, the promise is somewhat possible, right? The promise is what? Unequivocal. Now, what does unequivocal mean in Calgary? Does it mean the same in the United States, as in the United States? The promise is what? Without a shadow of a doubt, right? It is certain. Would you agree that if an answer to prayer is certain, if we pray according to God's will, it might be important to learn how to know God's will? Would you agree? Sure. Now, I love to use ammunition from people outside of our church. This comes from E.M. Bounds. He wrote a whole series of marvelous books that if you can read them, your prayer life will be greatly blessed. Notice what he wrote in line 685 in the small edition, 558 in the large edition. We'll start with that paragraph. He says, prayer is obedience. It is founded on the adamantine rock, that's a hard rock, I believe, of obedience to God. Only those who obey have the right to pray. Strong medicine, isn't it? Only those who obey have the right to pray. He was, I believe, a Methodist pastor, by the way. Behind the praying must be the doing, and it is the constant doing of God's will in daily life which gives prayer its potency or its power. Notice the next one there. The will must be surrendered to God as a primary condition of all successful praying. Everything about us gets its coloring from our inmost character. The secret will makes character and controls conduct. The will, therefore, plays an important part in all successful praying. There can be no praying in its richest implication and truest sense where the will is not wholly and fully surrendered to God. I'd like to make another point now. When we talk about praying according to God's will, we are also talking about completely surrendering to God. That's why it's a bit challenging. It's not just saying, I need to know a bit of a formulary, you know, to put this word first and that word. We're actually saying, God, I choose what you want for my life. I seek to pray for what you want. Now, notice what was written about some people who had great success in prayer. The first is a quotation regarding Daniel, but I can tell it to you. This writer, a man by the name of Thomas Paine, he said, Daniel's loyalty to the will of God in everything explains more than anything else. I'm at line, by the way, 703 in the small edition, 573 in the large edition. Daniel's loyalty to the will of God in everything explains more than anything else the secret of his power in prayer. Daniel wanted God's will to be done, and because he wanted God's will to be done, his prayers were answered. Then speaking of George, the next one comes from Andrew Murray. He makes a statement, do understand, and this is huge. Please listen carefully now. Read carefully. I'm at line 709 in the small edition, 577 in the small, in the larger one. Do understand that there is no sure way, rather that there is no other possible way of getting into God's love and blessing in prayer than how? By getting into His will. In prayer, give up yourself most absolutely to the blessed will of God. This will avail more than much asking. Let me illustrate that. Some time back, it was cold here in Calgary. There was lots of snow outside. And maybe my friends Rachel and Sarah went to Mom and Dad one cold morning when they were making some food on the stove, and they said, our hands are cold, and we want to warm them up. We want to put them on top of the stove where it's shiny and warm. And Mom and Dad, Joanne and her husband would have said, sure, you'll warm your hands up, right? Not in a million years, right? That would have been cruel. Now, they could have asked 5 minutes later, and what would their response have been? No. 5 minutes later, would the answer ever have changed, Mom? Never. Her eyes are wide open, like never. Okay? The point is that sometimes we're asking for things that are not for our good, and just like we would say no to a child, God says, I'd love to answer, but I can't answer it that way. And sometimes we waste literally days, if not weeks and months, years, begging God for something that God says, if you only knew what I knew, you would never ask me to say yes. You see, we don't see the future. God does. And when we pray, if we trust God, we should listen to what He says. And how do we know what He says? Where do we find it? First and foremost, in His Word, right? Now, some people today are a little bit fooled because there's this whole idea of going back to the mystics of the past. And they talk about the discipline of prayer and all of those kinds of experiences. Well, let me explain something to you. If, for example, you read The Method of Prayer by Madame Guyon, someone who's quite popular in these days among some circles, she talks about if you want to find truth, look within yourself. And people say, you see, she knew God, look within yourself, and that's where to use another word that's used some days, the Gnostic idea comes. There's a special knowledge of the universe that you find within yourself. But listen, Madame Guyon lived at a time when Bibles were chained to the church walls and they were in a different language than she could read. And she could only hear what she was told by people who tried to interpret it for her according to what they wanted it to say, not according to what it really said. Did you hear me? And to protect her in her time, God said, look within for truth, don't look outside. Did you hear me? But in our day, when there's so much confusion on the inside, God says, my word is a safe thing to look at. Only look at my word. Did you hear me? This is a safe word. What was right for back then, worked then. But today, God says, this is the primary way to understand and hear my voice. Do you hear me? Now, He said that if we ask according to God's will, it will save us much time. And really, when you have a struggle, you know, and you're praying through something, you might save yourself some time by saying, you know, to what degree is this God's will? God, are you trying to tell me something? Are you trying to tell me something? I know in my own life, there was a time when I was struggling financially and God had turned off the financial spigot of my business. And you know, it was only, and I'm a slow learner. I'm a really stubborn, slow learner with some things. You know how God always gets my attention? He makes me desperate financially. That's what He does. He makes me really in trouble financially. And then I finally listen. And then He gives me secrets. You know, gives me insight. And if I would have just begun asking Him questions sooner, I probably would have saved myself a lot of grief. Did you hear me? That's why sometimes things are difficult. Notice what George Mueller said on the subject. Line 724 in the small edition, 589 in the large edition. He said, in reading about all these answers to prayer, remember he was the man with the orphanage, the believing reader may be led to think that I am spiritually minded above most of the children of God and that therefore the Lord favors me thus. He says, people say, you know, God answers him because he's got such a close walk with God. But he says, here's the true reason. The true reason is this, just in as many points as I'm acting according to the mind of God, in so many am I blessed and made a blessing. Do you want to know God's blessing in your life, in your family, in your church? Seek to know and do God's will, and you'll see answers like you've never seen before. And look at the next one from George Mueller as well. This is I just found this quotation recently, so this is probably the first edition of my syllabus that's ever had it. He says, I never remember in all my Christian course a period now, and he was writing in March of 1895, of 69 years and 4 months, that I ever sincerely and patiently sought to know the will of God by the teaching of the Holy Ghost through the instrumentality of the Word of God. He said, there was never a time when I sought to have the Holy Spirit teach me the Word, teach me God's will through the Bible, through the instrumentality of the Word of God. But I have been always, notice the word, always directed rightly. He said, in 69 years and 4 months, any time I ask the Spirit to teach me through God's Word, I've always been correctly taught. But notice what follows. But if honesty of heart and uprightness before God were lacking, or if I did not patiently wait upon God for instruction, or if I preferred the counsel of my fellow men to the declarations of the Word of the living God, I made what? Great mistakes. Would you agree that it is possible that many today apparently are choosing to listen to their friends and listening to the counsel of their own heart instead of seeking to hear the voice of God, because many mistakes are made. You know, God has given us in His Word, in so many words, a protective hedge. Okay? God has given us a hedge in which to live and relate to this world and to other people to protect us. And if we choose to ignore this, we are choosing to be outside the hedge. Pure and simple. Would you agree then, based on what I've shared right now, that apparently praying according to God's will is not only important to pray, but important for happiness in life? Would you agree? Absolutely. This is fundamental to a happy Christian life. Well, if praying according to God's will is important, the next question comes, how then can we know God's will? Would you agree? There's a marvelous story found in Genesis chapter 25 regarding the marriage of Isaac, or at least looking for a wife for Isaac. Actually, it's in Genesis chapter 24. Genesis 24. And I will just review the story with you. The Bible says that at some point Abraham became old and he became concerned for his son. His son had a passive, loving disposition. And Abraham realized that if Isaac married the wrong person, he could be easily swayed to not walk as closely with God. So Abraham became very concerned that a wife be found for Isaac who believed in the true God. He was very concerned that a wife would be found who would not only believe in the true God, but would be willing to come to the land of Canaan, because that was the promised land, that could marry Isaac and live there. And so he found his most trusted servant and said, go and look for a wife. Go to my own family and find a wife. And there were two conditions. You must bring her back here. You must bring her back here, okay? It's got to be from my family, and she has to be willing to come. And if she's unwilling to come, I release you from this commitment. You see, Abraham had a very clear idea of the larger picture of what God had in mind for Isaac. He was a son of promise, and the son of promise was going to have a whole flock of descendants in the promised land. So though he wanted a certain kind of woman, she had to be willing to come back and live there. And if this person was unwilling, no matter how pretty she might be, how intelligent she might be, no matter how spiritual she might be, if she was unwilling to join in that journey, she could not be right. Did you hear me? So Eliezer went. And he journeys and he goes to where people are gathered. And because he had a sense of urgency, he said, God, would you please send someone? And I will just read this for you. He said, now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, let her be the one. He said, God, I'm going to come, and might you have this person come at a particular time and respond in a particular way, and then I will know she's the one. And the Bible says that before he'd even finished speaking, that lo and behold, Rebecca appeared. Isn't that a fast answer? Was it any surprise? There was a sense of urgency because Abraham was getting older. He'd gone to the right place to look for the right person, and he was prepared for God's answer right off, and so God sent the person too. And so they have this dialogue, and Abraham realizes that she's the one. And so eventually they go to the family, and it's interesting that he doesn't say, I'm here from Abraham, and she's really nice, here's the dowry. He says, let me tell you about this. My master sent me. He placed certain conditions on who this person would be. I prayed. She appeared. She responded. And now I've come to ask if you'll let her come. It wasn't like he said, I have fallen, you know, I'm sure that they'll fall in love. And I just have this inkling that it'll work out. He said, I can point to all the steps that led to prove that she's the one. There was no doubt, no doubt at all, in the way that God had led. And we know how she eventually came back, and she was indeed ideally suited to be a wife for Isaac, right? Was there any ambiguity in the way that God led in this case? No. There was a good understanding of the larger picture. There was a specific praying for the larger picture, you know, that would be fulfilled. And then there was truly a step-by-step pathway that God led that was available, you know, for everyone to see and for everyone to agree with. And so there was no doubt. And I believe with all my heart, when we are praying according to God's will, it's because we're praying according to the larger picture that God has in mind for our lives or for us as human beings. That there is this matter of prayer and answers to prayer that point that God is indeed pointing this way. Okay? And in the end, as we show the information to other people, they can say, yeah, apparently God is working. Did you hear me? If in the decisions of your life, you were to take the same approach, say, God, I know you have called me to live in a certain way and make a difference for you in this world. And let's say in marriage, and Lord, I need you to find me someone along that line. Okay? And you pray, and you see all those steps take place, and the other people you check with say, man, I agree. There is no doubt, and you don't need to worry. But if suddenly people say, hold on. In what ways has God led in this? You ought to worry, shouldn't you? You should worry. I am speaking very clearly here, but I want to because this is such an important subject. So, when we're seeking to know God's will, number one, here are some principles. We find the first one in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, how often? Daily, and follow me. Now, when a person was being put on the cross to die, how much control did he or she have over their lives? And I don't know if they ever crucified women, but we know they crucified men for sure. How much control did they have? None. Okay? Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you need to be prepared to surrender your life entirely to whatever I want. That's one of the main principles that we can talk about as we're discussing this. Turning the page to line 750 in the small study guide, 611 in the large, Psalms 32 verse 8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you. Okay, there is a looking to God to give direction. The next verse down is Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. To the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. You know, if we have to compromise our values, if we have to go contrary to what the Word of God teaches, we don't need to go check with our friends to see if this might be God's will, do we? No. All we need to do is read the Word of God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will do what? He will direct your paths. He will begin to guide you by His providential leadings. And finally, Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Now, there's a reason why I gathered these verses together, and let me explain. George Mueller came up with, when he prayed for orphanages, he followed a particular approach that I have shared with other people. In fact, the young woman who wrote me, Dan, I don't know what to pray about, she followed his approach. The first step was this, and this is how he puts it. 90% of the challenge of knowing God's will is choosing to have no will of your own. How many of you are eager to put up your hand and say, that's what I want. I want to choose to have no will of my own. That's a hard one, isn't it? There's some people raising their hands. Praise God. Might you continue every day saying that, because ultimately that's what God wants to bring us to. He said the reason that's so important is because as long as we have a strong desire, our desires often drown out the voice of God. Okay? 90% of the challenge is choosing to have no will of our own. Number two, he said, anything that is according to God's will be in harmony with what the Bible teaches. Let me illustrate. If, for example, we wanted to hold an evangelistic series here in the town, that would be according to God's will, wouldn't it? We want to really make a good impression on everyone here in this community, and so we're going to order a bouquet of of a dozen fresh roses, and we're going to have those delivered to every house in Calgary. Would that make an impression? Now, I don't know who the accountant is here, but would that be within your budget? Hey, but it's God's will. We're just going to rob a few banks, okay? We're going to get the money that way. It must be God's will, and we're going to go have this outreach, right? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It can't be God's will because it would cause us to violate the Ten Commandments, right? Don't need to worry about that. Following that, he said that anything that is God's will be accompanied by the opening and closing of God's providential doors. Okay? Be accompanied by the opening and closing providences of God. Now, let me explain in terms of a wife for Isaac. Abraham was open to whoever God had in mind. Eliezer didn't say, God, I'd like to see 10 candidates. I want to interview them and I want to figure out which is the best. He said, God, you know, I know this is a serious matter. Would you please send the right person? Made it very specific. He was prepared to obey. And guess what? God sent the person, okay? He was open. The person that he chose had to be open to following God's plan. That's why he would later go to the family and say, she has to come with me. And it's interesting that he explained to the family how God had led. And their response is, you know, in so many words, it's obvious that this is God. This is their exact response. They said, the thing comes from the Lord. We cannot speak to you either bad or good. They said, it's obvious this is a God thing. Okay? They could recognize that God had been opening and closing doors, and as a result of that, he brought her back. Now, George Mueller said the following. He said that when I have gone through those steps, I still seek to know God's peace in my heart. If there's something that doesn't feel quite right, he says, I have learned to take that as a hold on, at the very least wait for more confirmation before you rush ahead. He said, if though when I did all of that and I felt completely at peace, he said, then I kept going forward. And then he did one other thing, and I didn't have a verse for this, but it's in the Bible. It talks about the wisdom of many counselors. He would then go to a wise, mature Christian, and he'd say, I feel God has been leading in a particular way. Here is how I've seen God open the way. This is the purpose. This is why I believe God has directed me. And he said, if that mature Christian agreed and said, we believe you're doing this for the right motives, you haven't been, you know, blindsided by your own interest or something else, he said, then I went forward without even the slightest hesitation. I believe if we followed that five-step plan more with some of the critical decisions we make in life, such as job changes, marriage partner, things like that, there would be far more success in the decisions we make. Did you hear me? You know, we can be so excited about a job, so excited about a person, that we can lose some objectivity. Did you know that? We owe it to each other in love to share and to pray, especially to pray. But we owe it to each other more more than our silence. Notice now on line 767 from the small syllabus, 626 from the large. Many who profess to be Christ's followers have an anxious, troubled heart because they are afraid to trust themselves with God. They do not make a complete surrender to Him, for they shrink from the consequences that such a surrender may involve. Unless they do make this surrender, they cannot find peace. Worry is blind and cannot discern the future, but Jesus sees the end from the beginning. In every difficulty, He has His way prepared to bring relief. Our Heavenly Father has 1,000 ways to provide for us of which we know nothing. Those who accept the one principle of making the service and honor of God supreme will find perplexities vanish and a plain path before their feet. If we choose to make the honor and service of God supreme, all of our questions and our ambiguities will go by the wayside. Okay? Now, just a couple of practical things for you. And I'm not going to go into, not going to read everything that's here. I just want to share just a little bit about fleeces and the steps by which God tends to reveal His will. Number one, God usually reveals His will one step at a time. Did you hear me? Some people want to hear how God's going to lead them all the way through, for example, through college and graduate school and medical school perhaps, and how it's all going to be paid for. Usually God only shows the next step. Okay? When William Carey, the great missionary to India, chose to go for God, all he knew is that God had called him to go. God did not tell him how it would be paid for. God didn't reveal anything else. But based on that very strong direction to go, he prepared. God will usually only show you the next step. Okay? That's why it's so important to have a good relationship with God. Because if you're not spending time with Him, how can you know if what you're hearing is really from Him? You need that connection with God. Okay? Notice what C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd is a great, great missionary. If you haven't read his book, his story, you need to read it. Line 885 in the small, a study guide, 722 in the large. God does not deal with you until you are wholly given up to Him, and then He will tell you what He would have you do. See, many of us have so many conditions on God that God can't even safely show us what He has in mind. God waits until we get to the point of saying, I guess, God, I'm open to anything. And I've shared, between the first time I came in now, stories of answered prayer. When God answered so many prayers of mine time after time, you know, in quick succession, it was when I truly said, God, I'm financially broke. The house is sold. I can't stay here. Whatever you want, wherever you want, I'm willing to go. And man, the answers came just like that. And I would suggest to you that the people who sometimes get the most answers to prayer and are most open to the right answers to prayer are those who are desperate. Okay? Because there's not that much tying them down to a place or a particular way of doing things, because maybe they're out of work or they're desperate financially and they're really open. And suddenly they see God move in ways, and God has actually allowed them to have greater flexibility in their thinking. Okay? Because that's where the flexibility has to start, in their thinking, that allows them to go forward further. Regarding fleeces, remember the story of Gideon? God was wanting to work through Gideon. And this is an important thing to keep in mind. God told Gideon to do something very specific. God knew what God's will was for him. But he said, God, this is really big. I need some confirmation that what you shared with me is really you. And then he had him do it again, another way. But it wasn't like Gideon said, God, if you want me to go, bring the fleece and modify the fleece. It was, God, you've directed a particular way, now confirm it. Some people have the idea that with a fleece, I'm going to walk down the street, and if today I see two people wearing a t-shirt with a certain sign on the front, that's the indication that I'd go somewhere if I see two bluebirds or something. That's not how a fleece works. A fleece works where God has directed. And we say, okay, Lord, if it is your will, would you please confirm it in such and such a way? And I know in my own experience, when I was feeling like God was telling me to go back to Berrien Springs, I told the Lord, if that's really the case, would you please have my house sell completely? Would the parents' house, that they have two houses side by side at Andrews, if the second house, would you please make it available for me to live in so that I don't have to live away from them? And would you have them do it without knowing that I want to come back, perhaps? And would you please have the business take off? You know, it's amazing. The business took off. My dad emailed me one day out of the blue and said, by the way, the renters are leaving. Have you ever considered coming home? You know, coming back this way? Because I was divorced at that point, and the girls were somewhere else. They weren't with me, and they weren't there. And the people sold the house. There was no doubt that God was confirming His leading. I could not have stayed and felt comfortable and safe. God had led too clearly. That's how a fleece works. Did you hear me? A fleece is to confirm God's will, not to discover God's will. Many people get in trouble because they use a fleece to discover God's will instead of confirm God's will. And then finally, don't assume. Don't assume. You know, a doctor once wrote Mrs. White and said, I feel called to leave my work to become a pastor. And notice the response. Line 900 in the small syllabus, line 734 in the larger one. I have been surprised at being asked by physicians if I did not think it would be more pleasing to God for them to give up their medical practice and enter the ministry. I am prepared to answer such an inquiry. If you are a Christian and a competent physician, you are qualified to do tenfold more good as a missionary for God than if you were to go forth merely as a preacher of the word. See, some of us just assume that there are certain categories that we can just count on it being God's will. Not so. In fact, George Mueller makes a statement. He said, I have seen so many people make mistakes who feel called to ministry, and they leave their jobs or they feel called to go somewhere else to serve God without carefully praying and deliberating to know what God had in mind. And I have to tell you that sometimes I watch people pray and seek to hear God's voice and see miracle after miracle leading them in one way, and then they go and they hear an emotional preacher and they abandon all of the directions of the past to follow what they heard in that emotional sermon. And there's something terribly wrong with that. Did you hear me? When God works, He will work by many voices that lead in the same direction, and it won't be like, well, forget all about that. God will lead you very clearly. And remember, if you take something that He's called someone else to, there's a double sin. You're going where He's not called you, and you're preventing someone else to go who has been called. Did you hear me? Okay? A double sin. You're going where you haven't been necessarily qualified and preventing someone else from obeying. And the other problem with that is that you have been prepared in a particular way. And if you wait to follow God's leading, you'll get into a job that will be such a joy and a pleasure because of the competency that He's given you. It won't be work. Okay? My dad taught for more than 60 years at Andrews. He said, at the end of his life, I didn't work a day of my life. I only had fun. Okay? Every day was fun. And you know, I spend a lot of time talking, but I don't get tired. I think you folks get tired before I do. Okay? In fact, I know that. I love doing this, you know? And it's because God has wired me and prepared me for it. And all of us have been prepared for what He's called us to. The challenge is finding what that is. That's why this matter of prayer and knowing God's will is such an important point. So, a bit of an assignment. We're going to close now. A bit of an assignment. I want you to go through your list that you made early on and look through that list and say, God, to what degree, you know, is this truly prayers that I believe You're leading me to? To what degree am I seeking to hear and know and do Your will? To what degree would that be the case? There's no limit to what God can do. If you are where God wants you to be, doing God's work His way, there will be great, great blessing. Now, please understand that in His leading you into His will, the preparation may sometimes seem a bit challenging. Joseph was called to be the prime minister of Egypt. But before Joseph could be God's man doing God's work, God's way, in Pharaoh's court, he had to die to self. And to die to self, he had to be sold as a slave, falsely accused and thrown in jail, forgotten in jail. And when Joseph finally said, I guess I'll be here the rest of my life, God said, now I can trust you to do my work my way in Pharaoh's court. And God promoted him. So don't feel like because you're praying according to God's will that everything's going to be a bed of roses, okay? Because you see, God wants to make sure that you're His person doing His work His way. But He won't disappoint you. He won't fail you. Yes, Jean?
Can you just restate the assignment?
Okay, the assignment. I just want you to look through your list and evaluate to what degree with your list are you really seeking to know and do God's will with your list, and to what degree those things that are there actually reflect God's leading in that way. Okay?
And what is the list again? Because I missed that part.
Okay, I asked people at the beginning to actually make a list of prayer requests that they really are serious about having God answer. Okay? Write it down, and now tonight I'm saying, now evaluate it on the basis of what we've learned about God's will. To what degree you feel that truly you're wanting God's will to be done instead of your will? Because that's often a factor. Okay? We need to close. Tomorrow night we're going to talk about the people for whom God answers prayer. And I see our pastor coming forward. Would you like to say a word before I have the final prayer or not?
We're taking up an offering at the door as you leave for the syllabus, all right?
Okay. As you feel led, okay? They're not free, but I wanted everyone to be able to have a copy because you learn a lot more if you have a syllabus. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I'm grateful that you have been with us this evening. This is a very important subject. Father, I need to know your will. I need to pursue your will. So do my friends here. Father, I believe with all my heart that you have a plan for each one of us. Lord, we live in difficult times. It's interesting that Abraham, he went down to Egypt. When Isaac, or was it, I think it was Isaac, he wanted to go. He was told not to go down. He was told to stay where he was. Different will, different people. And Father, each one of us needs to hear for ourselves what you have in mind. Help us, Father, to trust you enough to ask you, because that takes courage. Then help us, Father, to have the courage to follow your leading, to accept, Father, your preparing, to look forward to your blessing. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.